Tales from the Other Side, Conjured 2020. Written by R.S. Cobb. Narrated by Matt Hicks. Part 1. Look what we have here. My name is Drake Maven, and I am a conjured man. What is that? Some refer to us as witch doctors, practitioners of voodoo, evil sorcerers, and the like. I'm not evil, never have been. I was born into this life, but a long time ago I made a deal with the benevolent creator. He would grant me a seat in heaven upon my death in exchange for fighting off evil monstrosities like how I used to be. In hindsight, I should have read the fine print. It was a dark and dreary night when I arrived at my apartment to find it infested with police. It was a crime scene, so they'd already taped off the area. Forensics showed up as I did, swiftly snapping pics and dusting for fingerprints. I strolled on up like I owned the place, because I did, to see what was going on. To my dismay, in a puddle of her blood was the most beautiful brown-skinned woman I'd ever seen in my life. She was a 5-foot firecracker with brown eyes that glowed like the moon and a smile that was radiant like the sun. She lay there with her legs curled, her arms spread out, and blood splattered from her in a puddle. I felt my heart collapse into my stomach, and I nearly collapsed. Even in death, she was breathtaking. Her name was Lisa Trujillo. Part 2. The Card in White. A cold night breeze came in from the open window on the other side of the living room. It stung my skin, but I didn't shiver. My body knew not to show such weakness. One of the officers passed too close to me, bumping into me. A look of confusion hung on his face when he tried to look for what he had bumped into but couldn't see anything. I wasn't invisible. I kept my coat covered with zebra bone dust. A light goofer who only let those I wanted to see me see me. Right now, I didn't want to be seen by anyone. Then, as if calling to me, my eyes spotted a white card in Lisa's hand. When I picked it up, it bared no distinguishing marks, and to those unable to read goofered words, it would appear blank. To me, the name of the organization was clear as day. Sector of Paranormal Activity. Part 3. Enter the Nightlight. Years ago, before I made my deal with God and switched sides, I used to love the hustle and bustle of the hidden world beneath the ordinary world. The world we conjured folks call the Nightlight. There were all kinds of creatures and beings were traveling among the plain and ordinary daylight world, undetected by the mundane individuals. Vampires hid among crowds, taking a little bit of energy from those they passed. That wasn't a mosquito. Werewolves pretended to be normal dogs to blend in. One-eyed tentacle creatures posed as street lamps. Ghosts floated all around, making everyone's day a little more miserable just by their mere existence. And, of course, the demons and fallen angels that possess the weak-willed. Of course, one could be goofered to see the nightlight world or even buy a pair of pre-goofered eyes, but that was a one-way road. Many have driven down that road. Few have come back sane. I knew a guy once who put a sight goofer on a woman by drowning her in a tub. Now she goes around killing soldier demons in the name of all that's holy. The SPA would love her. Years ago, the hidden beasts of the world would have been my enemies, and before my contract with God, they would have been my allies. But I had returned to make a life with Lisa, a life that had just been stolen from me. I left my apartment building and hailed a creature that only looked like a cab in the daylight world. Its true form was that of a monstrous beast with huge fangs and scales like a lizard from some dimension outside of our world. It had its insides hollowed out so that it could walk among us in hiding. It most likely sapped the life from those it gave rides to. A creature like this would take just enough from every passenger to sustain itself and stay undetected. The seats were more like protruding exposed bones than seats, but at least it didn't smell like ass. The driver, who was just an image that the creature produced in my thoughts, didn't turn to greet me.
"What do yous want?"
it groaned in a voice that sounded like it had 1,000 too many cigarettes. "I need a ride to..."
"I's only going to two places. Uptown somewhere, or downtown nowhere. No in-betweens, yous understandin'? Uptown somewhere, please. Part 4, Little Shop of Horrors. The creature, formerly imitating a cab, let me out at Gary and Mission in Uptown somewhere. I paid the thing and thanked it for not eating me on the way. It was the middle of the night and the moon was full and bright. I made my way to Emma's Little Shop of Horrors. Typically, Emma's was a convenience store with a niche for the occult, but for those with the sight, it was much, much more. The bells alerted the clerk to my presence when I pushed through the door, and the irritating aroma of lavender incense filled my nose. I walked in like I owned the place, and a familiar voice greeted me.
"Hello, Drake,"
Emma said. "Emma." She was tall, pale, and covered in black. Her hair was all black except for a few strands of pink, with the left side completely shaved off. Her lipstick was blood red, and her eyes were an icy blue.
"You know, since you switched sides, there's nothing I want to sell you. It wouldn't be good for my conscience," she said.
"Conscience? I didn't know you had such a thing."
"Me either. Well, make it quick. The longer you're here, the worse my reputation gets."
I looked around the shop for a few minutes, browsing for what I needed. I knew, no. Microwavable witch's brew, no. Unicorn wishbone, no. Venus mantrap, no. Then I found it. Hidden on the fourth row behind some medieval armor were dragon scales. Part 5. Sector of Paranormal Activity. Located in a big, ugly building in the middle of Uptown somewhere was the Sector of Paranormal Activity, SPA for short. It bore no signs, and only those with the sight could find it. I've known its location for years. Back before my deal with the Supreme One, I had many altercations with agents from the SPA. Now they couldn't touch me. Divine immunity. I strolled through the double doors like I owned the place. A single guard wearing a black and white suit sat on a bench about halfway into the building. His face was buried in a newspaper, but he glanced at me as I strolled past him.
"Where do you think you're going?"
he asked. "In there," I pointed with my thumb to the elevator at the end of the hall.
"I don't think so,"
he reached for me, but a look of confusion hung on his face as his hands seemed to slide off. The zebra bone dust also kept people from touching me when I didn't want to be touched. There must be hidden cameras because more men in black rushed out of the walls from hidden doorways. They surrounded me with their guns drawn. Lead agent Lars Blackraven, a portly, bald, and grotesque man wearing a suit that hadn't seen a wash in months, approached me while stuffing his face with a donut.
"What's the meaning of this, conjured man?"
he asked as crumbs fell from his lips.
"Why have you come here?"
I flicked the white card at his face. It landed with precision, but failed to poke an eye or give a paper cut. Lisa's been murdered. Part 6. The Lesser of Two Evils. Most of the SPA agents were descendants of Puritan witch hunters. They'd been fighting people like me so long that they were trained to peak physical and mental condition. Plus, they had their guns. They fought without the need for spells or magical artifacts, besides their guns. They were the best of the best of the best. They were a clandestine organization working in the shadows to keep ordinary folks safe. They were feared by many of the seedy beasts inhabiting our world, but hated by many others. I tolerated them because we were mostly on the same side, but for murdering my beloved, I would shrink their heads. Confused, Lars looked at the card and shrugged.
"What is it to us?" he said.
"I pried this from a cold, dead hands, Lars," I said. "Maybe you or one of your cohorts can enlighten me on how she got it." He just stared at me, chewing the remains of a donut.
"Are you implying that we—"
"Yes.
A coldness took over me. I could feel a tear wanting to trickle from my eye, but it knew better.
Drake,
he started, but his words fell on deaf ears. I slipped my hands into my trench coat pockets and flung pepper into all their eyes. A trick I learned from a man I met in London. They fired the guns blindly. The bullets ripped through my coat and shirt, but bounced off the dragon scales I'd slipped on underneath, ricocheting back at them. They all fell, cowering in pain except for Lars. He wiped at his eyes while pulling something out of his suit pocket. It was a small, ragged blade with a large animal's fang for a handle, a chimera dagger. It was capable of cutting through anything, even my dragon scales. He cursed as he swung wildly at me with untrained swipes. I dodged, dipped, ducked, dived, and dodged, but the fight was disappointing. Lars's skills with the dagger were atrocious. I hoped the lead agent would have put up a fight, but this was pathetic. A red light at the end of the hall above the elevator started blinking, followed by a blaring siren and someone screaming, "Intruder alert, intruder alert."
"Damn, they've returned,"
Lars said, tucking the dagger back into his suit pocket.
"Drake, come with me now."
"For what?" I said, confused. Lars gestured to his men.
"As you can see, these fools are all injured. I need backup."
A hidden door revealed the pathway behind the wall, and Lars gestured for me to follow him through it. Part 7. Attack of Titan. The pathway led directly into an office. Inside the office, a large rock creature pummeled one of the agents to a bloody pulp. It was massive, at least 2 times as tall as any man and 10 times as fat as Lars. It was the color of sand, and its flesh was hard and smooth. Lars pulled out the chimera dagger, let out a battle cry, and rushed the thing. It batted him away like a fly. He crashed into a desk, hard. I thought he would have got up, but he didn't. A couple of other agents shot at the massive creature, but their bullets did nothing, uselessly falling to the floor. I watched from a distance as the stone beast made its way to a clear display case in the middle of the office. It shattered the case and pulled out the black thing inside. When it turned to leave, I was right in front of it. "Hello there," I said. I placed my hand on its chest, and before it could crush me with its massive stone fist, I spoke the words to a goofer. It let out a whimper before it became like sand and dissolved into a heap on the ground. The black thing it had lifted from the case fell into my hand. It was a heart. A black, goo-covered, musty-ass, still-beating heart. The other agents decided I wasn't worth the trouble anymore, being that I just saved their asses and tended to their injured co-workers. Lars finally got up, but the bastard looked okay. He got up a little too fast for my liking.
"Well, thank the Maker he converted you to our side and that I didn't kill you a long time ago,"
Lars said. "He and I have a deal, and you couldn't kill me even if you knew how. Many have tried. None have succeeded," I said. "Then I forced this festering monstrosity of a heart in his face. You won't tell me what this is, or do I have to kill it out of you?" Part 8. That's not a plan. Lars swore to me that the SPA had nothing to do with Lisa's death. He claimed her death had been orchestrated by some to get this vile heart. They killed her and then staged it to look like the SPA did it because they knew I was one of the few people strong enough to attack the SPA. My distraction would give the cult enough time to grow their golem and steal their heart back. Bastards. And who did this evil heart belong to? A witch. Probably just as old or older than me. Lars said his agents intercepted the cult at a gravesite, took the heart, and inadvertently unleashed the witch's restless spirit. Now she controlled the cult and wanted her heart back. "I'm crushing this thing," I said, with the disgusting mass still wet within my grasp.
"You can't,"
Lars said, grabbing my arm to keep me from destroying the heart. I looked at him like he was crazy. My eyes were like fire, putting heat on him that he had never felt before. He began to sweat, pant, and turn red, but he refused to let go.
Let go of me, I said, my blood boiling. Lisa had been collateral damage in this elaborate ruse to get me to fight with the SPA.
If you destroy that heart, the witch's spirit will be free to terrorize. Without it, we can't stop her. We must return it to the graveside.
I let my rage die down, cooling the heat I goofered upon Lars. I was still pissed, so it felt good to make him suffer for a moment. What do you suggest? I asked.
We return it to the grave, me and you. Putting the heart back should bring her spirit to peace.
You and me work together? I laughed in his face. I knew I got some spit on him because he wiped his face and gave me a look. I didn't care.
Do you have a better plan, conjured man? He asked.
That is not a plan, Lars. Out of nowhere, a gun went off. A bullet ripped through my coat and jacket, but bounced off the dragon scales I had underneath.
What the hell? I didn't give any orders to fire,
Lars bellowed. But when we stopped to survey our surroundings, all the agents' guns were on us. Part 9. Son of a witch. The agents stared blankly at Lars and me and aimed at our heads. Their pupils were white. Lifeless. The eyes of the possessed.
What trickery is this, conjured man? What have you done to my agents?
Lars asked. They're your agents, Lars, I said. Shouldn't they be mentally trained to fight off possession?
Possession?
Lars said, making his way to an agent.
Snap out of...
The agent fired. A bullet whizzed past Lars's head, barely missing him.
Give me the heart!
All the agents said in unison, their voices like a wave of sound in the room. Lars looked at me. I winked back. Make me, I said, and every gun in the room cocked. I tossed the heart to Lars, reached in my pocket for my tarot cards, and in a split second shuffled and pulled out the 8 of Wands. I tossed the card in front of me, and it grew to the size of a door. Let's go, I barked at Lars, and he swiftly followed me through the portal the card provided. Instantaneously, we were back out on Garian mission. The portal closed behind us, and the card floated back to my hand. Tarot cards. Never leave home without them.
What now?
Lars asked. Where's the gravesite? I asked.
At an abandoned warehouse, not too far from here. Right down 2nd Street.
We're gonna have to run it. You take point, I'll cover you. I took in Lars's pig-like exterior size and thought maybe I should run point. But with my knowledge of all things occult, Wiccan, and downright nasty, I could ward off all attackers. The temperature dropped as the air before grew into a thick fog. Then the projection of the witch appeared in front of me. She scowled at me with sunken black eye sockets. Her skin was so pale it was almost reflective. She wore a dirty, tattered white dress and was adorned with pearls on her neck and wrists.
You have something that belongs to me,
she said with a voice so dry it sounded like ice and death.
Give it back.
Why? So you can ruin someone else's life? I don't think so. I pulled out my keys, detached my rabbit foot, and tossed it to Lars. He gave me a look, but I ignored it. The foot was goofed to give anybody speed. Run, I said, and Lars took off just as his possessed agents were piling out of the SPA building. I followed, they fired. Bullets bounced off the dragon scales, reunited with those who had shot them. I heard agents cry out in pain behind us. I followed Lars back behind a back alley. I dodged, dipped, ducked, dived, and dodged, cause... people and creatures alike as we headed to the graveside. The witch appeared next to me as I ran, a floating apparition next to me.
You will not stop me,
she said. I ignored her. Lars turned right down a street and I followed. He stopped and pointed to a group of individuals directly in our path.
Cultists, he said.
Part 10. Good night. I strolled out in front of Lars like I owned the block. My name is Drake Maven, I said,
and I'm a conjured man, the real deal, the witch doctor that switched sides, the betrothed of the woman you murdered, and I'm seriously pissed the fuck off. The cultists didn't respond. Their pupils were white and lifeless. They were possessed by the witch. I pulled out unicorn wishbone I swiped from Emma's and said the words to Goofa. The bone transformed and grew within my hands. Seconds later, I held a large steel baseball in my hands. "Stay close," I said to Laws as I faced down the cultists. They rushed us. I swung with assisted precision, striking the lead cultist in the head. The bat connected with a thick thud. The man collapsed. I folded the next two cultists in half with strikes to the gut. One of them even coughed up blood. I bashed one woman's brains in with a swift overhand strike so hard her eyes popped out of the sockets. Oh, there was no discrimination in bat beating. Everyone got it. I reveled in beating these amateurs. Seeing their broken bodies piled on the pavement brought me joy. Laws pulled me from the brain bashing to remind me of the mission. "Sorry, I got carried away," I said. We were soon surrounded by more agents, many of whom were injured by their own bullets. I tired myself out beating the cultists, and I didn't know if Laws still had his chimera dagger. Two agents approached us as the others went to arresting the cultists I didn't kill. A few of the agents pulled out the zappers to erase the memories of all onlookers. I made a mental note to swipe one of those when they weren't looking. "Sir," an agent said to Laws before briefly scowling at me. I scowled back and he shivered, pulling his eyes away. "It seems the pain from our gunshot wounds is keeping us from being possessed." "Good," Lars said. "Let's bag 'em and tag 'em." The agent nodded and went to help his co-workers. I took the heart from Lars. "I got it from here," I said. Lars nodded, and I headed for the gravesite. Part 11. Back. I found my way to the abandoned warehouse. Like most of the abandoned buildings in this city, it was haunted. I kicked in the double doors the SPA had boarded up and strolled in like I owned the place. Dust filled the air like water in the lungs, threatening to take all my oxygen. I immediately headed to the area that was sealed off. To ordinary folks, this area looked no different than the rest of the warehouse. But to those with the sight, it was much more. I walked through the blessed caution tape, passing through an invisible wall, and was in front of the gravesite. Concrete lay in chunks around a massive circle in the center of the floor. A plain wooden casket was next to the hole. The witch suddenly appeared and hurled a high-pitched screech at me. The force caused me to stumble backward. Without a physical body, she couldn't directly hurt me, but she could affect the reality around me, or even my mind. Unfortunately for her, I'm a few hundred years experienced. She continued to screech at me, using the force of sound waves to keep me back. The sound pierced my eardrums like 10,000 nails on a chalkboard. I pushed forward against the force of her scream, but I felt blood trickle from my ears. My skin reverberated as the scream blew the zebra dust right off my jacket and began to shed my clothes. Against the force of unending howl, I finally made it to the casket and slammed the heart back into her body. I said the words to a binding goofer and watched as the heart reattached itself to the body. Her attack on me stopped instantly and the ugly bitch writhed in pain. A moment later, her spirit was gone and I had avenged my beloved. I sat on the casket, took in a deep breath, and pulled out my cell phone. I had a picture of Lisa as my background. I admired it for a moment. Then my phone rang. It was a call from Emma. She must have realized I swiped the unicorn wishbone, so I answered it and strolled out of the building. "Hello, Emma. To what do I owe the pleasure of hearing your lovely voice?" "Uh-huh. Sweet talk you. I would never." "Unicorn wishbone? Stolen? I have no idea." The end. This has been Tales from the Other Side,
Conjured 2020. Written by R.S. Cobb. Narrated by Matt Hicks. Copyright October 20th, 2020 by Raymond Sinclair Cobb. Production copyright by Raymond Sinclair Cobb.